Hello and welcome to the Ship.Energy podcast. This is Mark Williams broadcasting to you from a roasting Cambridgeshire in the UK. The summer in the Northern Hemisphere is definitely upon us and things are getting hot. And I think the environmentalists are starting to make that point that the world is getting warmer and life's getting harder. And it's time for us to do something about it. So we're delighted in the Ship.Energy podcast to be able to bring to you a succession of interviewees who are all working as hard as they can in order to decarbonize shipping, reduce its greenhouse gas emissions, and do their best to prevent the planet from overheating. My latest guest, today's interviewee, is Carol Plessy, Head of Maritime Commercial Development at OneWeb. OneWeb is a global communications company. It operates satellite networks, and their aim is to bring connectivity to rural and remote places and greater connectivity to existing markets. Carol's focus is on developing global maritime services for commercial launch to bring high-speed connectivity to the seas. Carol joined OneWeb in 2018. She has a background in satellite telecommunications and has more than 20 years' experience of business leadership, working across research and development and complex project management and product integration. Carol has extensive knowledge of the maritime sector based on her previous role at Inmarsat, where she was Senior Director of Digital Product, and prior to that, Director of Maritime Product Development, responsible for new product delivery from concept to launch. Carol has a Master of Science degree in Aeronautics and Telecommunications from the École Nationale de l'Aviation Civile, and a doctoral program degree from the University of Paul Sabatier. So we're delighted to have Carol on the show with us today. And Carol, thank you for coming on. Okay, well, Carol, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us on the Ship Energy podcast. Welcome.
Thank you, Mark.
And you're working with this impressive outfit, OneWorld, which has this impressive fleet of low orbit satellites. And having spent some time in satellite applications myself, 8 years ago, I set up a company called Democrata, which was going to use downstream satellite apps. And we realized that we'd probably end up launching our own satellites if we could raise the money, which we never did. We were looking at launching 12 satellites. I think you've got many more than that. So first of all, how many satellites have you got for your global coverage? And I guess the costs have come down. So how does that enable your rollout of satellite-powered Internet of Things to shipping?
Well, OneWeb is really a low-Earth orbit constellation of satellites, and to cover the globe, with global is very important, to cover the ocean, we will use 658 satellites. Today we have 70% of our constellation up and running, and we are going to complete our project through this year, so to the end of the year. So what low Earth orbit satellite means, it means we have brought the satellites 30 times closer to the Earth than a normal constellation of satellites. And we have done that for a few reasons. Is one, to bring down the latency, which is effectively a measure of responsiveness on the data path, so the time it takes to go from the data to from shore to the satellite and back down. And we're also bringing a lot more capacity. So what it means for the shipping industry is faster speeds, more abundant, and most importantly, more affordable data available at sea. Our network is live today. We have full coverage above 50 degrees north latitude. That means we are covering Alaska, Canada, Greenland, Iceland, the UK, the Nordics completely. And we started our project with providing connectivity to terrestrial-based communities. And we've done that in Alaska, we've done that in Canada, and continuing to connect people and industries in the UK and the Nordics. So this is where we are today. Towards the end of the year, we are going at sea with our first maritime terminal. And this is really what the shipping industry wants to hear. We'll be rolling our maritime commercial service starting from January 2023 onwards. And as we launch complete our constellation, our coverage will expand, going from 50 degree north to 25 degree north. And by the end of 2023, we will provide global coverage for covering all the maritime routes.
Fantastic. So this is, how many satellites again? Was it 600 and something, did you say?
So the full constellation is 648, and that includes quite a large percentage of those satellites are effectively in spare orbits to make sure that we can always restore service very, very quickly should anything go wrong. And the choice we've made that at OneWeb, effectively, we have completely departed from what has been traditionally known in the shipping industry as VSAT technology, which VSAT technology is very effective as designing bespoke services for the maritime industry. However, it's very costly because it hasn't scaled. The innovation in low Earth orbit satellite is to abandon this technology and use effectively LTE/4G, if you want, type of network over satellites. And in doing so, what we've achieved is actually we benefit from the huge scale of LTE, 4G on terrestrial networks to bring down the cost of chipsets and components. And effectively, it means more compact and cheaper hardware than anything that's available on the market today, yet offering 10 times more speed and 10 times less latency than what we see today on board a vessel. Because effectively, if you want to cover the ocean, space is the answer. As much as we can debate it on land when it comes to the aviation industry or the shipping industry, the maritime industry in general, when you are at sea, when you are far away from the coast, when you are crossing oceans, space and satellite is the answer to the need for ever greater connectivity.
Sure. Now, let's be clear, this extra capacity, this bandwidth you're providing by the 4G and satellite networks, is not so that sailors can watch Netflix during their downtime. This is so that vessels can become fully integrated over smart networks, and so that the Internet of Things can be used to manage hardware on ships.
Absolutely. I would say the mission is as a dual purpose. It's connecting people and it's connecting machines. And yes, the seafarer are an equally important part of our mission, because being at sea is one of the most isolating carriers in the world. And yes, they want to have access to Netflix, but more importantly, they want to stay connected with friends and family, just like anyone else would want to be able to do that whilst they are working. And the seafarers can stay absolutely months, if not years, at sea. So it's an integral part of almost the human right to have access to connectivity. But for the ship owners, the important part is very much the IoT aspect. So how data collection and sending data to the ship will change the operational efficiencies for ship owners. Operational efficiencies is a perennial measure of competitiveness in the segment. Just like any other asset on land, whether you have a factory on land or a network infrastructure or transport infrastructure on land, today these are heavily monitored and managed using IoT or Internet of Things. Data points that are collected real time, sent to a data center real-time, processed, collected, curated to extract insights. And based on those insights, you can act. And when you can act, you can effectively affect the way you operate your assets and impact costs. So this is really an area that has been a little bit out of bounds for the shipping industry, mostly because connectivity is so scarce and expensive whilst you are at sea. So I would say today the shipping industry has been talking about digitalization for a decade, and yet there are still many, many hurdles to overcome. One of which is collecting the data, sending the data from the ship, but it's equally complex to process the data, to know which data to use, and how to extract insights to act upon those insights. Now, with OneWeb, we are bringing abundant connectivity, which means that if you can visualize a vessel, we can effectively impact a vessel optimization on machinery optimization, as well as voyage optimization. That means knowing the routes, readjusting the routes real time based on weather data, based on availability at anchor, availability at berth, and arrive just in time. I think we've seen that more so recently with absolutely extraordinary waiting time in the port of LA, up to 6 weeks at anchor before the berth is available, meaning that the ship could have been rerouted to a different port if they had the information real time, meaning that they could have slowed down the speed, and that also impacts the fuel consumption. And eventually, all of those things impact cost, which is where ship operators are concentrating today, how to reduce costs to stay competitive.
Sure, yes. Well, I think ship owners know that they can't manage their income because the freight market does. So the one thing they can manage is their costs, and that's where they expend all of their effort. And certainly when I was working in satellite apps, our sales pitch was, you know, who wouldn't spend 50 cents to save a dollar? So, you know, spending a little bit on technology, if it makes vessel optimization, voyage optimization more possible, and if that means you can reduce emissions, reduce fuel burn, reduce costs, reduce wear and tear on the vessel as well, then that surely has to be a good thing.
Absolutely. And I've seen recently at the Posidonia conference, very interesting technology where IoT, we're used to IoT, thinking of IoT as a little data sent at regular intervals from discrete equipment. But IoT is moving in big data, in the sense that it also is a lot of video data, a lot of high-resolution images. And I was talking to a company who is specialized in deploying video solution to monitor mooring ropes, anchoring ropes, winches, and whole raft of mission-critical equipment on board. And by doing that, they can actually make decisions in advance on to when a rope needs to be replaced, rather than to wait for either an accident or damage. It means you can actually plan the replacement mm-hmm. in the right harbor with the right cost in advance. And again, this is saving costs. So sending more data from the ship real time allows for much more granularity in predictive maintenance, preventative maintenance, and replacement of equipment. We also see a huge development in the OEM of heavy equipment and machinery, now selling connected equipment. And the connected equipment comes with their own firmware and software. The equipment collects the data and can send it back to the OEM to provide predictive maintenance, diagnostics, and maintenance tooling real-time back to the ship. All of this technology has been challenged by the scarcity of connectivity mm-hmm. because a digital mm-hmm. strategy starts with the connected ship. It's a two-way communication. A lot of data needs to come out of the ship, and a lot of data needs to come back to the ship. The other type of data we've seen that now needs to be pushed more and more real time is navigational data. And I was recently working with the UKHO showing progress in this field, where they map the effectively collect the navigational chart and the seafloor data points much more frequently. And instead of providing a CD once a year with the world, effectively the world map of the seafloor, they can provide discrete updates as and when they occur to the vessel to show how the seafloor has changed, sand banks and hazards underwater have been detected. And again, it's going to prevent accidents, which are not only a cost issue, but also a safety for the seafarer. and prevents undue delays, last minute rerouting. Everything can be planned in advance. And again, it yields operational efficiencies. So this is what really we are trying to provide, is connecting the ship in a way that it can be run like a $100 million asset on land, instead of having 12 KPI reporting once a day and having just the crew solely making decision with the limited information they have. They can benefit from a whole raft of data being pushed back to the ship real time, so the crew and the captain can make the right decision ahead of any unplanned events.
Fantastic. The two issues that always come up with data that I find are security and ownership. So we're talking about significant quantities of vessel-specific data being broadcast via a system. So how does the system deal with you know, ownership? Because ship owners are always very conservative in how they like to share information and data from their vessels. And how do we deal with the security of data? You know, because in my experience, there is no unhackable system.
Very true. So cybersecurity is an up-and-coming real threat to any connected asset, and shipping is absolutely not immune to that. I think there have been fewer high-profile cases of cyber attacks on shipping vessels. And this is where it's important to work with a partnership of providers and network integrators that ensure that the data does not transit over the internet. So this is one of the key differentiators for OneWeb. We work with network integrators that will pick up the data encrypted in our point of presence and will take it on lease line or private networks back to the ship owner. And that data does not transit on public network at any point in time in an unencrypted manner. On the satellite link itself, it's completely secure with encryption, and it's only handed over in reputable interconnect point of presence around the world to the network integrator, who also applies its own security and will use a variety of solutions on the ground infrastructure to deliver that data to the ship owner and the ship owner only. But there are other stakeholders like the OEM of heavy machinery and an equipment manufacturer. And we have the ability to split that data path and hand over that to the OEM in a secure manner as well. All actors in the chain have an incentive to ensure that data is protected. Cybersecurity is not a one-stop shop implementation. You absolutely need to have every actor in the process implementing a cybersecurity policy. And the weakest link are often people. So that's an integral part of having a secure end-to-end network. Not using the internet is important. Being accessible from the internet subjects you to attacks, but equally making sure that all the equipment on board, including the seafarers and their personal devices, are isolated completely on a network point of view from the mission critical systems on board.
Thank you for that. So we understand that digitalization is the twin process of decarbonization, because it enables decarbonization through smart shipping, Internet of Things, and so on. I want to switch the emphasis a little bit to the decarbonization element, and particularly around the whole ESG conversation that's happening at the moment, because it's very important for users of shipping and investors in shipping to be able to demonstrate their ESG credentials to their financiers, to their customers. And you recently said that ESG is close to your heart and that shipping is not immune to the trend. Now, I teach a course on ESG fundamentals for shipping, so I entirely agree with you. Mm-hmm. Do you think the industry is taking ESG seriously enough?
Well, that's an interesting question. I would say the shipping industry, like many other industries, is taken into a pincer effect. You have the customer pool or the demand side from their own customers. And I would say the likes of Amazon or H&M, Unilever, Schneider Electrics, and many, many more are very much adhering to an ESG policy. And that ESG policy now is seeping into their own supplier chain. So when you transport goods for these customers, the customer will hold you accountable and for your own ESG credential. And that includes transportation and transportation at sea. On the other end, you have a regulatory push and very much driven by the EU directives and decarbonization targets are taking the industry into a pincer effect where, would they want it or not, I think the ship owner of the next 10 years are embracing the ESG credential. And that means measuring your environmental impact, being socially responsible and adhering to governance. And to do all of these things, you need data collection because you can only act on what you can measure. And data collection, like any other systems, comes with connectivity. KPIs are very difficult to measure if you do not have a data collection and a data pipe, effectively, to report on that data. So ESG is also an opportunity for the ship owners to differentiate themselves. And there would be leaders and early adopters, followers and stragglers. I think the industry is very much divided in the middle. There is a leader group in the pack of the top shipping companies who have more cash flow and are able to do the CapEx changes required to embrace ESG, because ESG is a huge topic and it includes changing fuel, changing engine, changing vessels, but it also includes managing existing assets, because at the end of the day, we can't expect in the next 10, 20 years that the entire shipping industry is going to change vessels. So we need to support the industry on both aspects, on embracing new technology, new fueling, new engine, but also doing the best of what they can with the existing assets and managing them in a more cost fuel-effective way. And that fuel-effective where is going to yield cost benefits in the long run. So I see very much the industry divided in the middle. I don't think everyone is going to make it in the next 20 years. I think for smaller ship owners, these are big asks, and it doesn't scale very well. So we are going to see a change in the industry. And as you pointed out, ESG is now a measure of access to capital. So if you want to raise finance, finance is really, in fact, in the background, leading the quiet revolution of ESG. It is really in the finance domain that the ESG is exploding as a role. Every private equity, investment bankers, and banks are embracing ESG and measuring ESG credentials. And all of this yield to access to investments, investor choices, and access to capital. So like it, hate it or love it, ESG is something we cannot ignore and put in the back of the strategy for a company and totally ignore it. Eventually, it will come back to bite you. And I agree with you that ESG and decarbonization in particular works hand in hand with digitalization. And specifically, I've seen new fuels are quite expensive. And any adjustment you can make to the route, to the navigational data or the decision making on board will yield a significant cost reduction in using the new fuels. And it can yield significant operational reduction even on the vessels of today. So that's decarbonization is a great place to start. And the social governance and the adherence to regulation is also going to be a big push for digitalization of vessels.
Couldn't put it better myself. Thank you. Well, Carol, we're coming to the end of our time. I want to say thank you very much for appearing on the show with us today. And I know you're very busy, so we really appreciate you digging time out of your diary for us. If people want to find out more about what you're doing, is there a website they can go to?
Absolutely. We have a website. It's oneweb.net. We have on our website details about how we are going to connect the maritime industry, when we are going to do this, which hardware are available, and which partners you can work with. Many of the network integrators of today are eager to get started with low Earth orbit technology, which is going to bring very much a step change in terms of capabilities, speed, low latency, and affordability of connectivity on board vessels. So I think 2023 is the start of a revolution and in the connected ship, and eventually will yield to a lot of cost saving and rationalization of the industry, and best practices to be put in place. So oneweb.net is where to go to find out more about us.
That's the place. Fantastic. Thank you so much for appearing. And thank you to all of you out there in listener land for listening to the Ship Energy Podcast. And we'll be back soon with another episode. Enjoy the weather. Thanks and goodbye for now.
Goodbye.